We are Brightside.
Right? No okay. Pants.
I can pick my nose all I want there. Fine.
There you go. Yeah, that's the other one. The other day when you said that, you're like, the no pants. It's like, I'm like, yeah, we're doing it. I explained it. You're like, no pants. Why do all guys say that?
It's like, I'll tell you what, there's like, it's like 80% of my movie reviews. I got no pants in none of them.
The no pants movie reviews. I saw your review today of Dune 2.
Yes.
I haven't even seen it yet.
The movie itself.
I haven't.
Oh, you didn't even see the movie.
No, I haven't had a chance. I've been you're like almost done with your theater, right? If not done.
Yeah, I was actually working on the panels for the Hush Box today. I just was stapling some fabric on one of the panels. I got to do that. I got to do two panels for that. And then just whatever's around the screen, got to make panels for that. And then I'm pretty much done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the middle of building a house. And so it's like a whole new build with the theater. And it's like, it's been coming up on 2 years since we conceived the idea. My wife and I have even moving. And yeah, it was 2 years ago this summer. We were like, it was really kind of for my son. Originally we were just going to add on to this house. Cause she wants like a bigger great room for grandchildren and stuff for Christmas and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, so we'll do a great room and I'll do a theater under it and I'll get an upgrade there. And then my son's like, it's a long story, but he ended up wanting to buy the house. And I'm like, all right. So he's renting it now till he can buy it, and that enabled us to build a ranch. And then there's a whole other story about my parents coming in with us. So I'm basically the entire design started because I'm like, I need a 9-foot foundation so I can put a theater in the basement and all that. And that's I'm about eyeballs deep in it right now, and I'm probably about 3 months away from moving in.
Oh, so, nice.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
What do you do? You're like a construction guy, right? You're like a contractor or something?
No. I am today. I'm doing the contract. Like I'm the GC on this. I do a lot of the frame. My brother-in-law is a framer, so I framed with them, but then I do all the indoor framing and stuff. And, and then I do all the finish work and everything like that. But for work, I actually paint bumpers. I have my own business working on cars. Bumpers. Yes. So like, gotcha. Say you scuffed your bumper, you in a parking lot, you bumped into something or whatever, or you're pulling in your garage and you hit the edge or whatever. Instead of taking it to a body shop, you could have me come out and I can fix it. I'd probably fix it in about an hour and a half. Literally. And this isn't, I'm not a good like salesman type person. When I say a fraction of the cost, I mean a fraction of the cost. So like a typical scuff when you go to a body shop, they're going to be like, well, we got to take the bumper off, and because they itemize everything. So you're looking at anywhere from like $800, depending on the vehicle, all the way to like $1,500. And for me to come to somebody's house here, it's just pretty much a flat rate, $350. And you never.
So just bumpers.
Yep. I do other things. It's just harder to blend like a whole door. You can't blend because I do blend. So like if it's just the corner, I just repair the corner and I blend it off and it makes it harder. You know, it's easier for me. It keeps the integrity of the bumper. All that fun stuff. So it's quicker.
And that keeps you busy, huh? They're like, there's a lot of people scuffing their bumpers.
Well, I do mostly dealerships. So.
Oh, gotcha. You trade
your car in. And it's like, it's got a scuff on it. And they're like, oh, and they're going to hit you up and be like, well, we got to send it to a body shop. Then they call me, or not even call me, but I go to a dealership every day. If it's nice out, I go to a dealership. I'll do 4 to 6, 7 cars a day.
Wow.
And, And I don't charge them $350 to go to the house, but yeah.
Yeah.
So
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever seen that service offered to me was when I was like in Walmart or something like that. And I'd get to get the white vans pull up.
Yep.
Hey, man, get a scuff on your door or your bumper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, do you want me to fix it? So they're like, I'll do it right now. I'll pull the dent out too. I'm like,
yeah. All right, cool. And that's kind of when I first started, I've been doing this since 97. I worked for a company for like 7 or 8 years and then I went on my own. But yeah. When I first started, that was one of my ideas. Like, hey, should we just go to a parking lot and hand out cards and stuff? And the owner of the company was like, nope. And he goes, it just comes off as shady. And if you see a scuff on a bumper and you put a card on the windshield or something, they're going to think you did it.
Yeah,
because people don't see cars the way we see cars. So, you know, I'm like, I didn't even know I had that. So, yeah.
So, you got a fresh new theater build. Are you going to like decouple the walls and
do
a room in a room type of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of like what I talk about on my show all the time right now. It's like, so, you know, I do like experiences and normally we sit down and I talk about like, what did we watch this week and the different experiences we had? Well, Steve kind of takes that. And then I'm like, this week I built this wall and this week I'm doing it. And that's for the whole house. So my listeners have been really cool. They're really understanding about it, but they're like watching me do the whole house. And you know, we talk about HVAC stuff and we talk about all this stuff, you know, anything and everything with house building. That's what I'm doing right now. And it just in the last couple of weeks, I'm literally in the basement working on the theater walls. So,
it's in the basement. How high is the ceiling? What's the dimensions?
The theater will be. So I poured a 9-foot foundation. So I got, and I came in like because of the pourings and accuracies, I'm at 106 inches from concrete floor to the bottom of the floor joists upstairs. Okay.
Right.
So what I'm doing to handle that is instead of doing hat channels or any resilient, anything like that and attaching to the joists, my walls are going to be 106 inches tall. So that leaves them an inch shy, right? And now I'm going to run a 2x6 across the theater in between the floor joists. So that means my ceiling will be at 106 minus, you know, the double drywall, blah, 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 green glue, all that stuff. So that's my height. And then the width I'm going, I've finagled 16 feet wide and 24 feet long. But when you sit in the room, you'll think you're in a room with no speakers in it because you'll have false walls all around. So the room will be, that you're sitting in will be 14 by 20. So it's just over 24 feet long. So it'll be a 30 inch false wall in the front and a 24 inch false wall in the back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds similar to mine. I think my ceiling's a little bit higher than yours. I got, 10 foot high ceilings.
That's awesome.
And then our dimensions are almost the same. Yours, I think, is going to be like an inch wider for your room, but our depth is pretty much the same.
Doesn't it, like every inch counts when you're doing this stuff? Cause you go to pick your seating and you're like, oh crap. It's like every inch. I'll show you how I had a sneak, like how I'm finagling to get to that 16 feet because it's, you're trying to gain every inch. And that's especially for height. That's awesome. You got 10 feet. I didn't want to pour that high. I didn't want to do a fun. And it's that 9 feet is already costing me a lot because not just the foundation, but now my front yard is higher. So I have to bring material in to fill that in. So like this theater, if you add this stuff up, it's like, oh, okay. Well, if I just did a shallow ranch, I wouldn't have had to bring in as much dirt for the front yard.
Yeah. So I tell you what, that's good. It's in the basement because when Dune came out, it dropped at like 4 a.m. over here. Hmm. So I woke up and I watched it at 4 a.m. so I can get the review out early. And, yesterday I get a knock on the door.
Oh, no.
I'd never met my neighbors before. I mean, I've only been here a month. So I was like, boom, 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 while I'm editing the video. I was like,
hey, I didn't hear this in your review.
Yeah. She was like, she's like, hey, she goes, how you doing? She's like, I'm Jessica. I'm your neighbor. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. She goes, I can bet that you're a gamer. I was like, no, I'm not a gamer. I was like, why you ask? She goes, either you were playing games last night or my daughter woke up and told me that there was a thunderstorm outside.
Oh my God. So like, I'm assuming you're not decoupled.
No, I mean, I just took that spare room, add a little bit of extra drywall on there.
Yeah.
And then, I just went from there and I was like, oh, I said, my apologies. She was like, yeah, it was like 4 a.m. So we were wondering what that was. She's like, listen, I don't like to be troublesome or at all. He goes, but I just wanted to let you know. She's like, I get it. She's like, my husband has a stereo. He likes to bump his stereo.
We have a subwoofer. Yeah.
She's like, we have a subwoofer too. So I was surprised she even knew what a subwoofer was.
Right.
She's like, we have a subwoofer too. She was like, yeah, I get it. She goes, but you know, my daughter kind of woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, listen, say no more. I was like, I'll keep it down in the middle of the night. Not a problem.
Yeah.
She's like, okay. She's like, you know, I just figured I would just tell you. That's all. He goes, just come over anytime you want. We can have a beer or whatever. My husband's Dave. I think his name is Dave. You can come over. We can have a beer with us. He goes, my daughter, he's like, apologies. My daughter was sleigh riding in the winter. I was like, she can do whatever she wants. I was like, that's fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How close are they in proximity? Like the space between your houses?
Not that far. I mean, maybe like 50 feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that far? No,
that's not very far. Yeah,
dude.
We have like in the town I'm in a small town in I'm in Douglas, Mass. Are you in Connecticut?
Hold on, not 50 feet. What's like a quarter of a football? 25 yards?
25 yards is a quarter of football. Half a football field is 50. Yeah.
50, half a football field. Maybe about half a football field. Maybe about 50 yards. I mean, that's a pretty good distance.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But she was like, the windows were rattling. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I was cranking.
Yeah. So when you go now, was that like literally, do you go to reference level in your rooms?
I normally don't. I mean,
oh, really?
The older, cause I was in an apartment the last time.
Yeah.
So it was like reference in a 12x12 room is pretty loud. This is a lot bigger, obviously. So I was just like, I'm pretty close to reference now. Cause now there's a bigger space to fill and you're not so close to the speakers now. So it's like you can really crank it louder.
You get more room treatments in there too with the bigger space.
And, I was like, I could probably go louder, but I was just like, you know, I don't want to do that. But, even then, man, I was just like, I didn't think it was going to be that loud.
That's funny.
Honestly.
That's awesome.
But, now I kind of know the limits, I guess. So
was that the first time you really cranked it that high?
Cause I saw probably like 2 weeks ago, I saw it in IMAX and I was trying to create the IMAX experience at the house bass wise.
Yeah.
And I was like, this still doesn't sound like IMAX. So I just kept going a little bit louder till I got to a spot where I thought, okay, this is kind of like IMAX. And, I was like rattling one of the panels off the wall. I was like, oh, and I like my Ascendo speaker. They're on like this hinge. Yeah. You screw it in from the sides and it keeps it locked in, tilted, and they all drop. Beep. I was like, oh, this must be really loud in here.
Oh, wow.
Because at the end of the movie, I was like, why can't I hear anything back there? I was like, okay.
So your room's falling apart around you. Your neighbors are walking by like zombies. Like, what the hell is going on?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean,
That's the Dune 2 review right there. I mean, you just, I love your review. I do love your reviews. Your reviews are so technically oriented. It's like, I go to them just to go, okay, so it was filmed in this and it was shot in, you know what I mean? It's like, it was restored in this. I love that, but when I first started, I used to watch your stuff and I'm like, maybe I could do that. And then I look at and how you got the graphics up there and I was just starting out and I'm like, it would take me like 3 hours to get those graphics to come because I don't know how to do any of this. You just learn as you go, right? And I'm like, screw it. And that's one of the places you were one of the people like, okay, where I realized stay in your lane, do your thing. Why are you trying to do that? He's already doing it, right? So, okay. So I was like, all right, just be me. And that's what I did. It's
like, I mean, they're popular. I mean, you don't have to do anything special. There's a lot of people that do it. I just figured I'd come at it slightly at a different angle. Now there's a lot of people that do the same thing.
Yeah.
And, then I was like, listen, I need to differentiate. So I was like, let me just drop it. Let me get the trin off. Cause I know nobody's going to have a trin off.
Yeah.
So,
when you got that, I was like, oh, I've wanted a trin off. Well, for years. Before I even had a podcast, my projector, calibrated projector buddy, Jim, he's like, okay. And he's all about the picture, right? So that's all he does. And that's all I've relied on him for. And then one day out of the blue, he's like, hey, you got to get he said, you've got to get a Lumigen and you've got to get a Trinov. And I was like, a Trinov? And I don't even think I'd heard of it at the time. Yeah. And he was like, and this is before the altitudes and everything. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And he goes, it's just one of the best sound processors out there. And he goes, you get that, you're done. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And then I start learning about it and stuff. And then I see you get that one in the Atmos, you know, the visualizer. Yeah. And I was like, I watched those videos like for weeks. And then the only way I could talk myself down from it is like, I do like all about the experiences and stuff. And I feel like that if I do, and hopefully someday I do get that, it kind of would take away from me actually watching a movie because I'd be too busy watching balls bounce around.
Yeah. That's why like half the time I was looking at Duno, because I had already seen it four times. So I was just most of the time I was like looking at my iPad. I was like, oh, cool.
That's awesome.
I was like, this is cooler than the movie.
Yeah.
But when they came up with that feature, I was like, oh my, I was like, nobody's going to have this feature. I'm going to put the bouncing balls on screen. And, I mean, honestly, now Trinov is kind of gotten way more popular. Like I've noticed a lot more people having them now. And I was like, where are people getting all this money to buy a Trinov during the pandemic? I was like, geez, guys.
I know.
It ain't cheap.
I know guys that business owners and that the money that came in for people, it was sad. And I'm like, I'm a business owner, but I'm a one person. So like the PPP loans came out and it's like all you can get I forget what the number was, but it was per individual, right? So if you're employing like 50 people, you would get their average salary for like 3 months or something, right? A percentage of their salary for 3 months. And then of course you had the rule. I know guys that were getting, they got like 180 grand, 190 grand and putting additions on their house. Because if it didn't get forgiven, you'd have to pay back at a 1% loan. And they were like, where am I getting a loan like that? So they were like, you know what I mean? If they didn't find, and everything ended up getting forgiven anyways. And that's all these business owners, a lot of them didn't even give it to their employees. They just kept it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw it and I was just like, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I needed it. I was like, cause I work for myself. If I'm not working, I don't make any money. And I was like, I tried not to use it, but then it was like, they literally shut us down up here and I couldn't go anywhere. And I was like, it was tough.
I mean, that was like my best year or two on YouTube. I mean, I was just like, that's how I afforded the Trinov, cause the views were like so good. Yeah. The AdSense was so good. I mean, what I made in like 2 months, what I made like a year previously in like 2 months. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So, that was a good year. I mean, I have yet to see that kind of money ever again since then, but that was good. That was good. That was a good year for me. It was that COVID year.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people sitting there watching videos.
I mean, cause I had worked at Best Buy before I started YouTube, and I started YouTube when I was at Best Buy, and I was just like, you know what? I started making more on YouTube than I was at Best Buy. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, you know what? I could probably just survive on YouTube. And that year I was just like, I made quadruple what I did at Best Buy. And I was just like, wow. I was like, is this how YouTube people live?
Yeah.
And then the year after was like, all right, nope. I'm back to normal again. So
I know. And that's a great way to go at it too, though. Like you came from Best Buy. So like your income was set at a level, you know, by the time I start this, I'm like, you know, I'm making more at Best Buy anyways. So it's harder for me to, and it's like, I got monetized on YouTube. Right. And then it was right before the 24-hour show, like a month before it. And then I think it was like, a few weeks after the show, they demonetized me and I have to check something. I don't know how to do it. I'm not good at this stuff. So I've been demonetized since then. And I don't know how to, it's something about like they want they said if they don't hear from you, they'll mail me something. I didn't get it. And I'm like, it's the verification or something like that. And I don't know.
Oh, so you're not monetized right now?
Nope. Not on YouTube. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you got demonetized for something?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny. I could show you. It's, I don't know what happened. And I don't know how to correct it. And honestly, I'm so busy right now. I don't have time to like mess with this stuff. So I'm just like, yeah. Screw it. If I need it, cause I don't get a lot anyways. It was cool. People were like doing the things and everything, but.
I mean, you'll get more views if you're monetized because they're not going to push channels that are not monetized. That's okay. Just the way they work.
Right.
Because if they can't sell ads on your channel, they're not going to like push you.
Right. Let me see. Let me see what it says here. Errors. Set up AdSense for YouTube. So I have to do that. Fix AdSense for YouTube. And it's telling me like how to do that. And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. So step one, done. Review base terms. Did that. Get reviewed. Yeah. Done. Did that. So set up AdSense for YouTube. But I didn't want commercials in my show. Does that mean I'm going to have commercials? Or
you want to get paid. You want to get paid. Yeah.
I know. I know. It's like, but I didn't want to have commercials in the middle of my show. It's like, I don't know. But anyways, I know.
That's how it is, man.
I know, buddy. All right. But hey, that's actually, I'd never seen that before. So let me, I'll mess with that later. I'd never seen
you
that.
You probably just got to fill out, you got to fill out like a 1099 or not 1099, a W-4 or something like that. That's probably all you got to do.
Yeah.
And then they'll start dropping ads on your videos. I know you don't want to do it, but
I know. I thought there was a way you could have them be at the beginning or at the end, but you could unclick if they're in the middle or something. Is that true?
Yeah, you can choose where you want the ads to go, but YouTube will still put them in there on their own at times.
In the middle, I think you get ads. You definitely get ads if you don't have premium, right? YouTube, because I got premium YouTube just because I was watching so many videos for the show that I'm like, I don't have time for the stupid ad. I need to get to the next one. But I don't get commercials in there. So is that like, we can talk about that later. Let's talk more real stuff. People don't want to hear this crap.
Guys, if you guys want to start your own YouTube channel, this is what you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, and it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. Trust me. It's like everybody's like, oh.
Although I have noticed a lot more like smaller YouTubers or just like normal people starting YouTube channels like lately. I've noticed a lot.
People want to stay home.
I think people want to stay home, or they get the idea like we all get like free stuff all the time for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get this. I've been at this for like 7 years now.
Didn't you? You said that in like the middle of one of your podcast or one of your videos recently. Like, I don't get to keep this stuff. It was so funny. I was like, I love it. I loved it.
Dude, I've been doing it for 7 years. I'm like, some of the guys have been watching me for 7 years and they're like, well, you get to keep it for free. I was like, dude, how many speakers have I reviewed? Do you think I get to keep all these speakers
for
the past 7 years? Where are they, man? Come on, man. You break. I know you said these speakers were end game speakers. Why are you getting new ones? Because I'm done reviewing them. New ones.
Right. Yeah. It's like they're end game speakers. Like that's like the highest thing you can say about a speaker. Like this, once you get this, you are done. You're not.
Yeah.
They're not your end game speakers, right? It's like, oh, I misunderstood. It's like, why are you getting more? So
what do you put in your theater?
I just announced, I'm definitely doing the new SVSs.
You doing towers or?
Shows? Yeah. Yeah. I was so psyched.
Oh, towers.
Yeah. I'm doing. So listen to this, Shane. I was like, I saw them out of CES. I hadn't heard them. I just saw them in that. The curved design, everything, I read all the stuff about them in the first hour, right, that they were released. And I called my buddy Ara from HT Guys, and I'm like, tell me about this curved design. What does that mean? I go, is it marketing? Is it this and that? And he's like, nope. He goes, it's legit. And then he explained it all to me, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I laughed to him. I'm like, so this, the tweeter being at the same level as the woofers and all of this, it's like, that's super important, but then we're going to take our center channel and throw it down underneath something or over something. And like home theater, a lot of that stuff goes right out the window. It's really more for two channel. But I did love the design and the towers. I love the size of the everything about them. And I said to my wife, and I was like, I go, these are what I need. And she knows I've been into this, into home theater since 88. And one of the reasons I want tower, I'm doing three pinnacles across the front. And because I want, back in the 80s, that's what you had. The real home theaters, which had projectors, which were CRT and super expensive, they had to do towers because we didn't have speakers to lay on their sides. So it just brought me back to, I was like, it's kind of how I started, what I wanted when I started. So I'm going to do three towers across the front, three pinnacles. And if I can squeeze two Titans into the rear as my rear channels, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to have that. It's a while ago. I had actually asked SVS, I called them, and then I talked to Nick too. And I said, when I got the Ultras, that I have the Ultras bookshelves now in the Ultra Center, but I always wanted all the same across the front. I actually asked if I could do an Ultra Center on its side as my front left and right. And they were like, no, the dispersion of the tweeter wouldn't match. And it's not good. It's meant to be that way. And I was like, okay, but that's just my mentality. And for me to have three of those behemoths across the front, I can't wait. Have you heard them in person yet?
Not yet. No, they're supposed to send them to me. The big ones, yeah.
Oh wow!
And then the center,
yeah.
And you said you got a false wall, right?
Yes.
Screen wall going up.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm gonna have they'll be behind the screen, acoustically transparent screen, and then
you're gonna put the surrounds in wall.
Yep.
Because
they're it's a false speakers. Wall. It's all gonna be they're 11 inches.
I mean the side walls.
The sidewalls will be 11 inches, like 12 inches. The sidewall, like cloth, right, is going to be like 12 inches away from the real wall. Okay. And that's going to be the bookshelves. I think they're like 11 inches deep. So that's not giving me a lot. You know, that's narrow.
Yeah.
I'll see what they say. If they say I had to go with nanos, I'll be fine with that too.
I'll tell you what, I was listening to, the creator today with the Ascendos, and the Ascendos are really, they kind of drop off really hard, like 100 hertz, 190 hertz to 100 hertz or so. And, I know the choppers in this movie, there's bass in these choppers and the overhead stuff.
Yeah.
And, with those speakers, it's just like, I really like the speakers, but there's really no bass in it. So I'm curious to know if those nanos or if the Titans actually have bass, because it's tough because people are always like, you skimp out on your Atmos speakers or your surrounds because there's no bass in them. That's 100% false because there is bass.
Yes.
And you can tell the difference when something goes from your front stage to your surrounds because it'll be like, you're going to have the big tower. So you're going to hear the difference between the bass from there to the travels to the side or to your heights.
The bookshelves go to 40 hertz. And we heard them. They go down to 40 hertz. They were crossing over at Expona they were running the Titans at the front, which go down to 27 hertz. The bookshelves go to 40. Let me see. I got them right here. It's like, the new Ultra Elevations, and they're beefy. Yeah. When you see them in person for the first time, they're not as small as the Ultra Elevations, the older ones, right? And they are beefy. They're taller. They're thicker. Those go to 48 hertz. Okay.
Oh, nice.
And so I think they were crossing those over at 60. And now let me see what the nanos are. Ultra Evolution Nano. See what they go down to here. I just pulled it up. Those go down to 44, Shane.
Yeah.
I might actually run nanos instead of the elevations for my overheads. That's pretty good.
Yeah, because everybody's always like, so I get into this with a Gene all the time. He's like, dude, make sure you cross over 80 hertz. I was like, why would you do that? It's like, you're really limiting your speakers, especially if you have, I was like, there is literally like full range in your overheads. Why would you cut off your speakers at 80 hertz? I mean, that's like old school THX, you know, thinking. I did a demo with my older Bowers. I had some Bowers, CT something or another, 4.5 or something. And those went down like 45 hertz, I think. And I just ripped them full range. I shut off all the subs in my video and I said, listen, it sounds like there's maybe a 12 inch in here because they're putting 12 inch sub in here because I was just running everything full range and Power Rangers, there's the spaceship that flies overhead. My roof was like shaking. There's bass up there and people think, oh no, just do 80 hertz because it doesn't matter. Cause there's just no bass. I was like, totally wrong. There's bass in these speakers.
But honestly, you need to have a good amount of room treatments as well if you want to run higher range, I should say, not full range maybe, but if you want to cross over at 50, 60, 40, you have to have good room treatments because that bass, you're right. There is bass up there, but if you don't have the capability if your room can't handle it, you're just muddying what those can actually do. And that's how important room treatments are because you're 100% right. Yep. It's like, and that's what I'm kind of excited for because I'm the way I'm designing this room, I'm erring on the side of too much absorption so that I can do stuff like that. You know, I had a discussion with an audiophile a few years ago and he was like, you need to have diffusion here. You need to have this. And he's an audiophile. So I was like, yeah, but in home theater, that's not the case anymore. You want as much absorption because ever since they went to direct discrete channels all around the room, because back in the day, it used to be you wanted, diffusers in the back because you didn't want to localize your speakers. Right. Yeah. And now you do. So all of that is important. And it's, you know, if you get to do, you know, it's hard to do it in a living room setup, but you know, if you can get some in a, you know, sound absorption and the more you have, the more capable your room would be.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got, for my space, I've got a lot, I've got like 1 inch on the walls because I built fabric walls too. Mm-hmm. So I did 1 inch and the back wall, I'll probably do a little bit more, maybe some bass traps. I'll build some in the corners, but, cause I know that it's like they say you should do like 20 or 30% on your walls just to keep it lively. And, I was just like, listen, I'm just going to just put 1 inch. So it'll absorb some of the high frequency, but, I mean, if the soundtrack is spacious, recorded spaciously, I mean, it's going to come through in your speakers. I'm not a professional acoustician, but,
can't even say spell it.
But like on The Creator, I mean, that's just all, I don't know if you saw that movie or not.
Oh yeah. It was one of my favorite movies from last year.
Yeah. I mean, that's just all, it's super heavy with surround and, just at all times, it's really heavy. It's around. I mean, if you, and it's really spacious just in the recording for like the whole 2 hours or so. And in my room, you know, I'm not like super heavily damped, but I'm pretty damp though. And it sounds open and spacious because it's like in the recording. I mean, I haven't done my ceiling yet. I probably will at some point in time, but, you know, if it's in the recording, it's there. And I know Gene gets on me all the time, dude, don't do your front wall, blah, blah, blah. Don't do the back wall. I was like, yo, but I don't want the sound to be like ping ponging in the back wall. You know, I want to hear what's going on back there. And I can, because I have like my back wall is pretty much all, damped back there. I can hear super clearly, like really indistinctly what's going on back there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. It's like when I got my, 4K projector, I had to, because it was the first 4K projector I got, like, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe six now. I had to redo the back wall anyways, because I have it mounted in this house here. The mount wasn't big enough to handle it. So I was like, screw it. So I tore down the whole back wall and put up, two layers of 2x4s. So, and then stuffed it. with insulation, and that's a false wall with like basically 6 inches of insulation. What that did, that allowed me to get, I could never get to reference before. Then I could, now I can. It cleared up my center channel for me. The clarity was so, after you calibrate the whole room, it's like, cause you don't have all that extra bass bouncing around. It's funny that he's saying, don't do your back wall. I'm like, that's super important.
He said, just put some diffusers back there. I was like, really? I was like, why would I want to do that? So I don't want to bounce the sound around back there.
No.
I was like, I want to hear what's going on back there.
Yeah, you want to kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you're running a Trinov too. So you're not utilizing waveforming yet, are you?
Not yet. No, it's not official yet. I think they're working on the UI to make it easier for normal people like myself to get up and running. Yeah. I mean, I could get it right now if I wanted to, but I don't want to go through hoops and all that stuff to get it running. So,
right. Yeah.
But, that's the plan. I'm all wired for it. I wired everything for waveforming. I got like, two lines for subwoofers and then extra two XLRs back there.
How many subs you got now?
Also in the front. I got three. I still have I still got the PowerSound Audio 21 inch back there for anybody listening. They might still be hating me for that review. And then I got two of the double stack 12 RBHs in the front corners.
Okay. What was this? I had a question. It's going to sound weird. Where's your door in your theater?
So the door is between the first and second row.
Okay.
Slightly ahead the second row, but between both of them though. So there's, and the second row is like, it's hard to show you.
Yeah.
So if the door is like on the side wall, the second row starts right on the left. If you're walking into the theater, the second row starts right on the right side of the door. So if you walk in the doorway, you're walking between the back of the first row and the start of the second row.
Okay. You had this room you just picked, like you didn't build the room, so you had really no choice, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's my house now. I could have moved the door if I wanted to, but it was in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Plus, it's cool the way it was set up. I mean, I wish it was a little bit wider, but you know, I'm dealing with it for now. At some point, I might blow out the wall to make it like 20 feet wide, but it's like 14 right now. But it's okay for now. Yeah. But it's cool because it goes from like, And it goes from like my kitchen into the theater. So it's like, it's a little weird. You're in my kitchen and then it goes to the theater. I couldn't
help that.
yeah. But it's like you go from the kitchen and it's like, you know, you're on the regular floor for the kitchen. Then you walk into the theater and then there's a 2 foot drop that goes down to the front row.
Okay.
So I built, so right when you walk into the door, the riser is right on the edge of the, maybe like a 6 inches to the edge of the right side of the door. Then I built a ramp that goes straight down. So you walk in, you just turn the corner and you walk down the ramp.
Right.
Which brings you to the first row. And then, so it's almost like you walk straight into the theater, but then you can actually go step downwards into it.
Okay.
Which is, that's cool. It's like a 2 foot drop. So you get kind of the stadium thing. It's like, oh, dude, did you dig a hole in your ground to get down there? You know, you get kind of one of those feelings.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I said, I'll do that. That's
awesome.
Seemed like a cool idea. And, I tell you what, man, building a riser.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know about you, but that lumber is expensive for just a riser. I'm talking like, almost like, Jesus, like $3,000 almost to set me back just for that riser.
How big was it? Would you get pressure treated?
No, man. It was like, well, I built the riser is like, it's like 14 wide by 12 deep. I think it was maybe a little deeper.
Oh, cause and, that's basically you did like my riser is only going to be for the second row and it's literally probably going to be 5 or maybe 6 feet wide and then 14 long across the
row. Oh, cause I see. Yeah, because I went like wall to wall and then front to back. So that way it was a natural extension from the kitchen when you walked into it.
Yeah.
Amen. And then you got to buy the wood that goes in the middle of the riser. And then you got to buy the insulation in the riser.
Yep.
And then, and then you got to buy the OSB for the top of the riser.
Yep.
And then you got to buy the screws.
See, when you're building a house, there's a lot of that lying around. It's funny.
I was thinking, go ahead.
You were thinking,
what? No, I was just thinking, I was like, oh, it's going to cost me like $1,000. Right. Like, no problem. I got this. And then like $3,000 later, I was like, oh my God. I was like, what's going on with all this wood? I was like, why do I need so much?
It's so funny. It is. And it's because that's what makes this stuff so expensive is when you're in an existing space and then you try to build something like this. It's like, you're like, what the heck? But that's why I'm saving like so much money by doing it as I'm like, the house has to be built. This room has to be built. So build it this way right away. And it literally cost me the only thing in my room, now that you say that, that's going to cost me extra is the riser, because most rooms wouldn't have that. And, and then the 2x6s for the ceiling. Other than that, everything else in the room is something you need in the room, right? So I already priced the 2x6s because I know how many I need. And it's like, it's only like $300. And now my room is decoupled because of the way I designed it. But imagine trying to decouple a room that already exists. That decoupling, that's the only thing I paid for decoupling is those, cause instead of just going right to the joists, which you would in a normal room, right?
Yeah.
So I'm decoupling for $300 because I'm building it as I'm building the house. You try to decouple, it's going to cost you like $20,000.
Yeah. Cause I thought about it. I was like, I was going to have to rip down all the sheetrock and get all no 2x4s and get the little hat channels and all that stuff. I was like, no, I said, I can't do that, man. Yeah. So I just bought the house. I got no more money.
Right.
I was like, I'll just deal with what I deal. And now, of course, I'm dealing with like long bass waves going to the neighbor's house. So like, okay. I'll just deal with it for now.
Have you ever heard of, I saw these guys at, Expona. I'd never heard of them before, but they're, the heck is it? Proso Acoustic. This is was their flyer. And they make look at these Sona pans. Have you ever heard of those?
It's for your floor, right?
No.
Is that for flooring?
No. It's actually the Sona pan. It's a 4x8 sheet for your wall. And now instead of paying, so like a piece of drywall is like $20, $19.99. What the hell happened to my camera? Looks like I got sunburn. but anyways, these are $40. Okay. And it's $40 a panel. I price it out. Like if I do double drywall and green glue, it would cost me to do it the right way. It costs me like $75 each panel. Right. So you two pieces of drywall and then the green glue, $75. A panel of this and then a panel of drywall is $60.
Yeah.
So it, and the demo that I heard, they made a box out of it. They did, and they put like a radio in there or something. The demo I heard, it was one of those things where you go, that's too good to be true. Like it was that good. Like you couldn't hear the guys I was with. We were all like, was there a switch on the box? Like a music box? Yeah. Like, and it wasn't, cause you could hear a little bit, you know, and they didn't have really bass going on in there. It was just a radio playing like loud music in there. When they opened it up, you're like, you couldn't talk to each other when they opened it up cause it was that loud. But then when it closed, it was dead silent. So I've never heard of it. And I'm like, how good is this stuff? And it's like, I know green glue is good. I've never used it, but all the reviews, everybody swears by it. So I kind of trust that. But this stuff here seems like a legit thing. It just seems like, all right, $40 a panel and then put some drywall over it.
Would you need to do all that? Because you're in the basement, you have concrete walls. Does that make sense to do that?
I don't need to. But I want to.
Cause it's not like it's going to travel outside, I would think.
No, it would just travel to the basement, right? And it's like, but anything I can keep, I also want to keep, I want to go as soundproof as I can. And that way it keeps the sound out of the room, but it also keeps it from traveling anywhere else. Because even like you said, it's like you could have done all this. You're decoupled from your neighbors, but the sound still made it there. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like if I did nothing, yes, I'm decoupled, but that sound would still travel and my house is closer than 50 yards to the rest to the basement.
but if you just decouple your ceiling, I would think, I don't know if sound could travel through concrete and then through earth. Maybe it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it getting to the neighbors. I'm worried about it getting to my wife upstairs. I'm worried about my parents asleep on the other side of the house. And
right.
I'd rather go over. And I've been told, like one of my listeners, Paul Hurt, he's in England. He's actually a sound engineer. It's what he does for a living. He's done some, you know, he's a professional at this and he's been testing me and he's like, try this. And then now he doesn't test me because every time he tells me what to do to keep, you know, for building in a, in-home studio, sound studio, he's like, you're going up. And when I told him what I'm doing, like with the green glue or whatever, he goes, oh man, forget it. You're going above and beyond. He goes, that's better than a professional studio. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But I would rather do that than at the end of this be like, oh, I should have done that because then it would be quieter. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody ever went in a room and said, man, I wish I had more ambient noise coming from outside.
Yeah, no. My buddy was like, he's like, why do you need all this drywall and stuff? I was like, well, because I don't want to hear the cars driving by.
Right.
Even though I still hear the cars drive by.
Right. And it's, yeah. But it does kill it a little bit more, right?
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to make sure I did it right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I was building a room straight out, but. Yeah. But, you know, I just like, look, there's like money and then time. Because I had already been off of YouTube for like 6 months. I was like, yo, I got to get back because my money's taking a hit from not posting videos.
Yeah.
So I tried to wrap it up as much as possible. So.
Yeah. It's like, and that's like, for me, it's like, I don't, for all intents and purposes, I'm hardly in my theater now. I get up early in the morning and I'm watching, I'm going back through the Marvel Netflix series. I did Daredevil, Jessica Jones. I'm on Luke Cage right now. And I just really enjoy those and they like kind of relax me before my day. And I'll start, sometimes I'll be like watching them at 5:30 and then I start my day at 6:30 and then whatever. But I am watching Dune 2 tomorrow morning. Cause it's supposed to rain. So I can't work, but I will work at the house, but I'll get up early like you did. I almost watched Dune this morning because I'd seen you do a review and I'm like, wait a minute, that would just hijack our entire conversation and we'd have to talk spoilers. So I'm like, screw it. I'll wait till tomorrow. but yeah, I'm hardly in my theater, but what I do talk about is like basically what we've been saying, all answering the questions, all the stuff about building and everything. So it's cool.
Yeah. So what's your processor, Marantz? You have Marantz?
I have a 7706 right now. And I want a Trinov. I want. So originally what I was going to do now here, and this gets along the lines with like how I'm building and everything and trying to do it the right way. My original plan was a 7706 with, I got the SVS Ultras. And then as I saw as the house came together, my room was going to be a little bigger than I thought. And I'm like, okay, now I definitely want front wides. So I was going to go to the AV10, the Marantz AV10 and get my front wides,
yeah.
But that's like $6,000 or $7,000. Right. And now I'm at the point where, oh, wait a minute. I've got full range across the front. I'm going to have those in the back. I'm just probably going to stay with my SVS Ultras now, the Marantz now. I got the amplifiers. Everything's fine. And I'll start the room like that. And then as I can save up and get the SVS, the new Evolutions, I'll get those. And if I can get a Trinov, I don't want to waste $6,000, not that it's a waste, but waste $6,000 on an AV10 when I can just wait a little longer and get the Trinov. You see what I mean? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I tell, listen, if you're going to be in the hobby for a while, get the the most future-proof product that there is to get right now. Right. I mean, it's been out since, I say it all the time, it's been out since 2015. What year are we in right now?
Yeah.
It's still in the same chassis and the same processor, or the same, you know, Intel i7, I think it is, or for the 32, then 5 for the 16. And it's still ripping, man. Whereas if you bought a 7706, you probably upgraded now to the AV10. If you bought a Denon whatever, now they're on the A1H. From, you know, 2015 on, you probably bought like four or five of them by the time you could have just bought one.
I saw the same price a while ago. You're killing me, because that was kind of my line of thinking too, is that I wanted to get, I'm like, look, I'll just get the 16, you know, and be like, all right, that's how many speakers do I need? And I saw you go through it, and I already was thinking too. I'm like, but it's like, all right, go to the third, because that's where you get the FOMO. Like, oh man, if I want to add more, I can't. Now I have to do it. This is supposed to be the end game thing. So it's just, I just have to live with what I have until I can get my end game stuff. And it probably leaning towards a 32. Cause it's just,
I mean, the good thing is with the 16, it's technically the 20. Cause you can add the four extra channels to it.
Okay.
So, I mean, what am I at right now? I mean, I'm going to be like 24, I think, with the extra subs for waveforming. So I think, we got the same space basically.
Yeah.
So I think for you, maybe the 24 would be the one. And then you can always, technically it'd be the 28, because it's the 24 plus the additional four if you needed it.
Okay.
So, and that's cheaper than the 32. And you can always upgrade. You can always, wanted to go to 32, you can always add to it. Yeah.
Upgrade, I mean, instead technically, of having you could, to get rid of the whole thing and buy another, cause I mean, how much is the 32 MSRP? Those things,
I think it's like 45 grand, I think it is.
Is it?
45 or 50? Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah. I think it's like 48 grand.
The 16 is like...
It ain't cheap, man.
The 16
I think it's like 18, I think
18,
it is.
Yeah. And then, so what would be the 24 then?
Let me see. I know I just had Zach put it on the website recently, Dream Media, because that's when I was...
That's probably like 26. I didn't know 32 was that.
I think it's 25. Yeah, it's expensive. All right, here we go. So the 32 is.
Do they have a Labor Day sale?
Yeah, right. Damn, they don't even have the price on here for that.
It's like an exotic car. If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
And I say that jokingly, but I'm also dead serious. Like, if you have to ask, you can't afford that one.
Oh, dude, they took the prices offline. Yeah, they did. They took the prices offline.
Huh.
Yeah, I think the 24 is something like 24 grand. Yeah. I'm almost positive. The last I checked, the 32 was like 45, maybe it was.
See, 24 between 18, going from 18 for the 16 and then 24 for the 24, that to me is like more of a decent jump. Like, it's worth the jump, right? Save up a little. It's, you know, you're already here. Just go wait a little longer and save up. So, but yeah, it's,
I mean, I'm at six. How many channels do I have right now? 16. I got 18 channels right now. So 18 channels. What's today's date? I got 18 channels plus the 18, 19, 20, 21. I got 21 channels right now, counting the three subs.
Okay.
And I could go to 24 without adding the extra four channels. So, I mean, we got the same size space. I think you would be good with 24, because I don't see myself going beyond 24.
No, I want front wides. I want a side surround for my front row and second row. I have three rows, but the third row is a bar area, so it doesn't really need it, because it's not like, I mean, I could put it there. And then, you know, that's really what I was looking to do. It's like, really, it was just front wides, but then where you can do, you know, every row gets its surround channel. in the way that, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking for. That's the most I'd be looking for. You know, I don't know about front heights and rear heights. I'm not as concerned with rear heights, maybe front heights. But see, that's the thing is this maybe and I don't know and all that stuff. That's why I kind of would like to, again, like the sound absorption. If I can wait and get the Trinov that can handle it, at least I know I have the option and not be like, oh, I wish I had, you know.
Yeah. Are you going to, well, you can't do that. What's that? Mean, if you get the Trinov, you would do second, because I just put in second set of surrounds. That's cool. It works.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if, once you get the Trinov, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like when you do the surround, like for each row. Like you do your front row, your second row, because it's not a trick. It's literally, and that's what I think is so cool about object based is like, and Trinov was one of the first people to actually do it correctly. The object based sound. It's like the idea is there, it isn't channel based. All it is you just, oh, okay. I'm running a 7.24 right now. But if I put that same disc in your Trinov, it's like, oh, look at all the speakers you have. And it's going to utilize that same track and make that sound go down the side of the room appropriately. So there's no, I had a listener once, we were in a Patreon chat and he was like, oh, I'm going to buy wire or something or like split off the sound to get, you know, and it's the tricking way of doing it. And then Paul was in there, the sound engineer, and he's like, here's where that's an issue. He goes, you can do that. And it's definitely better than, it might not actually be better than nothing. Because what he was saying is the way your brain works and the sound, you're going to localize whatever is closer to you. So if it's, and now you're going to take away from that other one. And there was a drawback to that. And he was like, oh, and he did mention, he goes, that's why it's like when you're actually paying it, is super important to get if you want to do that many rows. That's where the money is in the Trinovs and the Storms and stuff, where it actually will travel the room appropriately. And as it fades out of the front channel, it'll move to the next channel instead of both channels going identically, right?
Yeah, yeah. But okay, it's not in every soundtrack, though.
No.
Some don't use that channel. Right. Yeah. The Disney movies don't use six heights. They use the middle, top middle.
Right.
So you have to like set up a couple of different presets. One will like, I don't know how many heights you're going to do. Like I did six.
I'm doing six. Yeah. And I want to have that good pan.
Yeah. So depending on, I guess you can do it with the AB10. They must have different presets, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do like something, you should have a preset for like six channels, another preset for like four channels, because some movies would just send everything to the top middle. Some will use all six, some will just use four.
Wow.
So I learned that out, you know, during the past couple of days. Because did the Disney stuff, I was watching Ant-Man. I was like, what's going on, mother? Front heights and the rear heights. It's just in the middle.
Really? So like now your overheads you're talking about, right? Like what you would consider insane. Because that's also confusing too to people. It's like you got overheads, you have height channels, which are like, like on the screen wall, kind of up above.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have rear heights, which are on the back wall up high, right? But then there's quote unquote in wall overheads or whatever. So, But yeah, that's interesting. So you don't, like I heard you talk, had you not heard that yet when you were talking to, who was it from Trinov that you were talking to? Was
John?
That was a couple weeks ago. Was it John? That was a few weeks ago, John. Wasn't it? And you were like, because you had mentioned it there. And I was like, I'm like, but when you get into the higher end and can take advantage of this stuff, it means something. For me, I'm like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do six heights, because I wanted to be able to say that in my reviews. Like, oh, if you have six heights, you can only use four and vice versa, whatever. So I figured that would be a good thing for testing for movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know why. Basically, Disney stuff is locked at 11 channels. For most of the time, they're locked at 11 channels.
Oh, wow.
Now, so it's just...
do you have any idea how they do that? Because that like totally gets away from the idea of being object-based. Because object-based is no channels. You render it as object-based and then
well,
it's the channel part is on our end. how what we decide, right?
Well, we had what's his face on. He did the mix for the Star Wars sequels.
Okay.
And he was just like, yeah, he was like, it's like time constraints. Some guys will just rush through
oh,
it.
Yeah. That's.
And he was just like, he goes, yeah, sometimes it's not, we don't take as much time as possible, basically.
Jeez. That's too bad. But that, I mean, it is too bad, but at the same time, it makes you appreciate the people that do, you know?
Yeah. Like the creator, man, that thing is just like, that uses all the channels.
Yeah.
Even with, I was watching, I popped in because I want to hear some IMAX enhanced content. I only have one disc, which is Charlie's Angels. So I popped that in now that I have all these speakers and that center surround is like active, like almost the whole time. I was just like looking behind me. I was like, wow. I was like, what's going on with that center surround? Like DTSX really uses that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something you might want to think about too. If you get the channel center surround,
where do you have your center surround located? I know center rear, but right. Like, is it like high up or is it like same level is what I meant?
Same
like,
level.
Okay.
Same level. Yeah.
Cause I have, that's where level. My door is. And that's why I put the, I designed it. So my door is, cause I figured that's the least utilized spot. Right. The directly behind person.
Sorry, buddy.
I know.
You gotta remodel that. Rework the room.
But see, that's the one piece. That's why I asked you earlier, where's the door? Because that's the one piece, like you need a door, but at some point in the history of home theater, like in your journey, there's gonna be something in the door that you're gonna be like, I wish the door wasn't there. Right. And you're like, it's like, where else could you put a door?
Mine was like almost perfectly placed. I mean, it kind of is between the first and second row. So I was like, man, I got lucky on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I maybe could have pushed the first row back a little bit more because it's like, I know people are just like, hey man, you need to be like 15 feet from your first row from the screen. I was like, I don't know if I believe that because I'm at like 11 feet right now for the first row. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's kind of like IMAX-ish. I'm like, you know, I don't get a headache or anything like that.
You're 11 kind of like feet from 150?
Yeah. And then the second row, I think it's like 15, 16. And I can go either way. I mean, it sounds, I think, maybe better from the first row, but I think it might look better. I mean, it sounds better from the first row, but I think it looks better from the second row.
Okay.
It doesn't sound horrible from the second row. That's where I've mostly been sitting. But
that's my choice. Like, I like when I designed this one in 2001, I was like, I wanted to be on the riser with a row in front of me, like when you're at the theater, right? So my second, and it's funny listening to you talk, you're like, when you're talking home theaters and stuff, and you're like, you always say like the first row and then the second row. And then, and I know when you say it, you mean the first row is primary seating, but it's like, for me, it's primary seating in my theater is always the second row because I want that thing that there, but that's what cause sometimes you can skimp on stuff in the non-primary areas.
Yeah. How far is your second row going to be from the back wall?
About 13. I'm doing about a 150 inch screen and the only way I would shrink down is if the room is like done, right? And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm running into height constraints. Like you got 10 feet. So that's awesome, but I'm trying to get like between 145, 150. I know I can do 145, but I'm trying to get to 150. It's not width that I'm worried about, but I'm doing 16x9, 150.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I did too. So you're going to be second row is going to be 13 feet back?
13. And then the front row, like head positions for each will be about like eight or nine in the front row. And then the second row will be, so like front row is going to be like, holy crap, IMAX.
Yeah.
But second row will be like, okay, you'll be about 13 feet away from 150 inches. There'll be a riser behind the screen to situate. So everything is going to be based off of that first row. So like all the height. Like all my tweeters will be ear level for second row. Sorry, second row, not the first row.
Yeah, that's kind of what I have. I got one of those laser, laser things that shoots a laser around.
Yep.
Yeah, I did all that.
Yep.
I was just like, you know what? Cause I started measuring everything out with the ruler. I was like long tape from the front wall. I was put in X. I was like, I know I'm doing this wrong. Let me just get one of these laser dealies.
Yep. I got a four-way laser just for building and stuff, but it's also good for putting screens up. But it's a four-way laser. You put it on a tripod and it'll do the cross. So like I can get everything right. And I'll be able to get, like I'll have a laser going all the way around the room and I'll be like, drop a tweeter right here and just like, I can't wait to get into the finer details. I've been framing for so long. It's like,
yeah. It was weird when I was doing the, I was doing the riser and the floor because it was just a concrete floor and I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. So I was kind of like learning on the fly, watching YouTube videos and just Google searching. So I built like the floating floor and everything like that. And then, it's been like, it was weird because I was just like cutting wood all in there. And then all of a sudden it scheduled the carpet. And then all of a sudden I just walk in there. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is like done. I was like, this carpet in here. I can go in my socks now.
Yeah.
But then it was like, I was like, now every time I make a cut, I got to run down to the basement, run all the way back upstairs, make sure it test fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm a center off, millimeter off, back to the basement, back upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy building when you're building, you know, and it's like, it's so hard when you're in an existing house. And it's like, I did, my daughter and her husband bought a house last year and we remodeled, like basically we tore down walls and remodeled the entire place. That is so much harder than like building a whole house because you're tearing stuff apart and you're working in confined spaces and you're limited and it's an older house. So it's like, I don't think there's a right angle in the place.
It's like, yeah.
Every time you try cut a new piece of drywall, you're like, okay, it fits on that side, but it doesn't fit on that side. You're cutting trapezoids instead of squares.
I mean, I got lucky with this room. It was pretty square for the most part, so I got pretty lucky. And I'll tell you what, man, my hands, my knuckles, I feel like I have arthritis after doing all this work. Like, I don't know how these contractors do it, but I feel like so old right now.
How old are you? You're younger than me.
48.
Okay. 54. 54.
Okay.
I'll be 54 in July. Yeah. So
everybody's always like, are you in your 20s? I was like, I wish I was in my 20s.
I was just talking to my buddy the other day and he heard us back. He's the same age as me. We play hockey together, or we used to. He hasn't played in a little while. And, he heard us back. I go, how'd you do it? And he goes, sneezing.
Oh man.
So he sneezed.
I've done that many times.
Yeah. Yeah, he sneezed 2 weeks ago and he blew out like the left side of his back and he goes, "Dude, it was so bad, but it was swollen, right?" And he goes, "I looked like I was pregnant on the left side of my body." And he goes, "The worst part, it was so bad that they had to give me painkillers." He goes, "The painkillers made me constipated. So my side's all blown out." He goes, "Then I got this big lump in my stomach because I can't go to the bathroom." And I was like, I'm like, "Buddy, I had back issues for quite a while, like just sciatica and stuff. You get that, you're getting older, you get that stuff from sitting down or whatever." Since I started building, we started building in February, like framing, like boom, every day. So every day I'm doing something. I told him, I go, my wife just told me a few days ago, she's like, "You're like thin, you're like getting cut, you're getting this." And I'm like, my back is fine, I feel great, everything's great. So I told my buddy, I go, "Just build the house, you'll be fine." I'm like, it gets rid of all your problems. It's like, but I did, Shay, it's funny you say your hands. My hands are like, they're all like, no, I can do whatever I want with them because they're just so banged up. But I broke my thumb Sunday. I shot a nail with a nail gun into my thumb.
Oh man. I did that with a rad nailer. I was making the panels and I don't know what I was thinking. I was holding the corners close together. Yep. I shot it at an angle and went in the side of my thumb.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. This is a framing gun and it was just like, and it was same idea. Like I was holding the board and I'm shooting through a thinner piece of board and I missed the board I was shooting and I shot my thumb. And it like right into the top of it. And I was like, it was squirting. It was fun. But yeah, you beat the crap out of yourself. But I like that stuff. I've always liked that stuff, like working out and doing all that. So it's fun.
You know, ever since I started working from home on YouTube, all I do is sleep till maybe like 2 or 3, wake up, listen to some speakers, maybe watch a couple movies, shoot video, edit, rinse and repeat for like the past couple of years. And I'm usually a pretty thin guy.
Yeah, you're in good shape. You look like you're in good shape.
But like with the shirt off, I'd be in the shower in the mirror and my gut would be like, bloop. It'd be like six pack was gone. Ever since I started working nonstop for the past month and a half, 2 months, the gut is just like, just flat, eating once a day. Yeah. Sometimes I'd eat a half meal a day for the That's past month. And I was just looking in the mirror. I was like, oh my God. I was like, look at this.
See?
I don't have to bend over to take a leak anymore.
And you just
it's right
built
there
a
now.
Riser. It's like, so everybody listening, you can do a riser workout program or you can do a whole home workout program. It's like, and you get something at the end of it too. Not only do you get in good shape, but you have something at the end of it. If you don't kill yourself falling off a ladder, in my opinion.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, funny. Just the riser. But your projector is going to be in a different room, right? Or is it going to be in the same room?
I'm designing it, same idea. It's like part of the room that, so my back wall, you walk in from the back, the ceiling will be a lower ceiling in the back of the room.
Yeah.
And then at like the 14 foot mark from where you're standing in the room, the ceiling goes up to the full ceiling the rest of the way. Yeah. So like when you walk up onto the riser, the ceiling will be higher too. But when you're under, like when you're in the bar area, there'll be like, that's where the projector will be inside of there, which will be outside the room. So you don't hear it and it's going to have its own ventilation. So it'll be, everything's, you know.
It's got something like this. This is, I don't know if you can see that or not.
Yeah, similar to that.
It's like a hush box almost, like a whole hush box there. Oh, you can see my door. There's my door. I haven't put a door on there yet.
Yeah.
But the door will go up. Hopefully this next week. But
I saw your Barcelonas too. Those things
I love the Barcelonas, man.
I was just talking about this the other day my show. This is the situation I'm in. I'll show you my phone. I just bought these. And it's like you're gonna be like, that doesn't go in a room with a Trinov. I bought
50. Oh, I thought about doing something like that too. Yeah.
So
there
are 15 of them from an actual theater that just went out of business up here. $30 a piece. 15 of them. Oh, but they're not all going in the room because I'm actually going to have a podcast studio too. So I have a gigantic walk-up attic. So I'm putting a podcast studio up there. But I'm going to have 4 of them in there. And then for now, I'll have 8 of them in the theater until I can afford. And this one I just explained to everybody.
Where's the middle seat going to go?
That's, I know it's tough. It's like, you don't get that prime middle. So you're going to be off angle, but at 150 inches, when you're slightly, you can lean on the armrest in the middle and then just switch sides, which one, you know, if your back hurts, go to the other side. So I know I feel that way, but I do like, my wife wants 4. I would just do 3. Honestly, I'd have a much smaller room if it wasn't for my wife. She wants to be able to host grandkids in there and host people and not be like, you know, like if you do 3 and 3 or whatever, and then, and you bring over 2 couples or another couple, somebody's getting separated.
Yeah.
So that's why she wants 4. So that's why I'm like working so hard to get 16 foot wide room. I just do a screen it like a giant room for me. Cause that's usually all it is.
Yeah. Me too. I'm just like, I was like, it's always just me in there. Just me. Maybe my wife once a month in there.
Yeah.
But it's always just me. But I needed to have 2 rows because I want to feel like I'm in a bigger space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That to me, that's the first step of like once you get, if you can get a dedicated room and you can do 2 rows, that's that theater experience, right? That now you've gone to that next level of a being in a theater experience. And then it's like, okay, in this room here, I have 3 in the front row, 3 in the middle row and 2 in the front row. And that's all I really needed. But it did teach me that it's like, no, when we want to watch 4 people want to watch, somebody's getting separated. Or if you want to have 2 couples over, it's like, I only got 5. And it's, you know, so it's like, I'm like, all right, let's just do this right. You know, and plus if like, say you have somebody over, there is no prime listening position. You both are. If 2 people are watching, you're both in the middle. So it kind of makes it work that way too.
I suppose if you want to be like that. I was like, no, just I'm in the middle.
Right. Exactly. Screw you. I'm not having well, everybody with the Trinov, I know.
With the Trinov, when it takes the Trinov measurements, you can specify like percentage per seat how you want to divvy up.
Really?
The sound.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty cool.
That's yeah. awesome.
So with six seats.
So what are you, you at 100% on yours? Now,
I mean, actually, I have a preset where it is.
Let me ask you this. Can you, on that situation there, is it based on a percentage of like everything? Like, so you can only do 100% to one seat, or it, do you see what I mean? Like, or can you do 100% in multiple seats, but then maybe it drops off drastically on other seats?
I mean, you can pick as many, if you want the top left or the front left seat to be 100%, you could do that and everything would be like zero.
That's what, but that's that. What I mean. But if you yeah. did like 90, you could do another one at 10. Is that how
yeah,
it works?
Yeah, you can do
that. Okay. Yeah. So, but yep. you could never do, you couldn't do multiple seats at 100%. Correct?
No. Right. Well, technically it would be like six seats. I think I'm at 11% per each one or something like that, which would, whatever equals to like 100%. That's how you divvy it up.
Okay. Right. So each seat would get yeah. a percentage of accuracy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Does it really work out that way?
yeah, it's
not really, but I mean that's the concept.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it's not always the best with like bass either. Although it did a pretty good job when I ran it the other day, because I was in the second row and the bass was like hardcore, and the first row it was almost like a null. Mm-hmm. So I had to flip flip the polarity on the back subwoofer, and then I would get a lot of bass in the front row. Then the second row would be like no bass. But then after the calibration, I reverse the polarity again. Now both seats, all rows get really even bass. Nice. I was surprised that the Trinov got it right this time, because in the old apartment I couldn't get it right. I had to do it manually. Yeah.
Your room was smaller in the old apartment though.
Dude, that was tiny. It was like 12 by 13.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And it's, I was surprised you were pulling that off in an apartment. And
yeah, my neighbors, they didn't care. It was just an older woman and she never said anything. So,
no, that's cool.
But apparently my new neighbors do care. So, yeah. I could be mindful now.
Now you, yeah, 12 by 13 is pretty much a square, because I just remember yeah. you didn't like have the depth and stuff. So like, I mean, how big was your screen there?
120 cinema, 21 by 9 CinemaScope screen.
CinemaScope. Are you glad you went with the 16 by 9 this time?
So I wanted to go as big as I could in that small space, which meant I had to go with right. the ultra wide. With an anamorphic lens, just to squeeze it in there.
Right, because you had such a shallow room.
Yeah. Otherwise, I was going to be at like 98 inches.
Right.
Which is not that much bigger than my TV. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to go with the CinemaScope. But for this one, now since we got the bigger throw distance, I try to maximize that front wall as much as possible, which meant 16 by 9.
Mm-hmm. What's your throw distance?
The black bars don't bother me.
What's your throw distance?
I think about like 20 feet.
Oh, wow. What's your projector? Yeah.
The NZ. Yeah, I got the NZ8.
D8. Okay.
Yep.
I knew that. What am I talking about? So, yeah, I'm looking that or the Sony 6000.
I get the JVC.
The comparable. That's what everybody tells me.
Sony's okay, but they kind of suck. Sorry, Sony.
So the Sony, in a lot of the reviews I was seeing when they first came out, it was actually beating the JVs, the comparable JV, the 8, the NZ8. It was the lower one and the top ends. The JVCs were blowing them away. They were very close in the middle for brightness and black levels and stuff. And the reviews I was seeing, I have a Sony now. I have the 295. Is that the first iteration or the second iteration of that 4K? I have the 295 bulb based. And this is one of the things, like, just to get into this theater, I need a projector, because this theater's staying for my son. So this will stay. I'm taking out obviously my Marantz and my amps. He'll get my old Denon. I forget the numbers on it, but it's a, you know, it's got the Atmos and all that. So, but I do need a projector in the new place. Now, if I can't afford at the time, like I said, I bought those seats so that it would allow me a couple of years to get the right seats, the ones that I really want. But a projector, because of the technology, it's changing all the time. So and I have a Lumigen, so I could go with a cheap, and I say cheap, a $2,000-$3,000 projector just to get me going, and then save, you know, get whatever the Sony, the JVC or whatever you got going, you know, whatever seems best. I was kind of leaning to the JVC because I've had a Sony so long. I wanted to try it. So maybe that's what I'll do. I'll get a lower bulb based JVC, try that, see how I like it. And then that'll help. That'll give me some time. That's actually a good idea. I just thought of that.
The only thing with the Sony is like every Sony that I've reviewed, they always have color banding, just banding.
I've never had a problem.
I'm almost positive I've reviewed that projector, and I'm pretty sure it's on that projector too.
Banding? Like how? Like
yeah, like if you go, like if you go to like, there's like a Spears and Munsell disc.
Yeah.
Or just like if you see like a Blue Sky or whatever like that, you can see the gradation between the shifts, and it's not like a smooth transition between the dark to light.
I get that at times, sometimes on streaming, but I've always just chalked that up to like, you know, streaming. I don't get that. I've never gotten it. I've seen it on other things too. I've seen it at Cydia now. I've seen that stuff. I never thought anything about it, but I don't get a ton of it that I'd be like, oh, banding. No,
I would notice it. I noticed it on. When I first started YouTube, I had this 675 ES, which was like 15 grand at the time. That was like one of my kickoff video. I did that one. I was like, dude, nobody's going to get a $15,000 projector. I'm going to start my YouTube channel with this. And then, I started reviewing Blu-ray players, and there was this movie with Tom Hanks with the airplane. What's that movie called again?
Castaway the one where it's the pilot, landed in the Hudson. It was the guy's name, I think.
Oh, Sully.
Sully.
There you go. Do you have that movie?
No, I've never seen it.
No, okay.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's pretty good. But there's this scene in Sully where he's running along the beach and during sunset, and it goes from like a purplish down to like a light, like to like a white color from the, in the corner. And I was reviewing the LG player, the Sony player, and something else, Blu-ray players. And I would always use that scene because I would always notice color fringing.
Yeah.
As the gradation goes down. And I would always say in the video, oh, you know, I noticed there's banding in this Blu-ray player. And then, years later, when I got the JVC, I was like, wait a minute here. I was like, it's not in this. And then I got another Sony and I popped it in again. I was like,
there it is.
Oh, it's the Sony projector.
Now I'm going
to
be.
And then I went to, Audio Advice, and they had the GTZ 380. And then, they're playing like a Spears and Munsell disc, or whatever. And I was like, hey, can you pause that? And he paused it. He goes, why? I was like, you see that right there? He's like, see what? I was like, you don't see that color banding? He goes, you can see that? I was like, yeah. He goes, I was like, you know, I was like, all of your projectors do that. He goes, well, not many people notice it. I was like, well, I'm noticing it right now. I was like, I've reviewed like six of your projectors. They all have it. I was like, any reason why? he goes, well, it's, you know, there's always got to be shortcuts taken. I was like, but this is your 380. This is like an $80,000 projector.
Right.
Uh-huh. He goes, well, you know, people just don't really notice it. I was like, okay.
So what is the JVC doing that's different?
It just doesn't do it. It's just normal. It's like, I don't know what's going on.
It's like the doctor. Hey, doc, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that. Okay.
even the Sony TVs have that. I think your projector has. Is there like a smooth gradation feature on it?
Yeah, you shut that crap off. I don't want that. It's like,
well,
yeah,
it's, there's JVC doesn't have it because JVC don't need it. Sony does it because they need it. That's why it's there. Like nobody talks about it. I don't know why.
Yeah, so maybe it's inherent in the JVC, right? for all intents and purposes, JVC probably has it. You just can't shut it off, right? No, isn't that possible? Like if Sony has a switch to turn it off, maybe JVC just doesn't. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here too. I've never had a problem with it.
Sony's like the only. I don't even notice it on like cheap DLPs, like BenQs and.
Well, DLPs are a different process, so it probably wouldn't. It's like I used to have DLPs and talking to Jim, he's like, he prefers DLPs. And he's like, you get the best color, you get the most accuracy, this, that, and the other thing. He's trying to talk me into getting that. He wants me to get the Barco. What is it? 30 grand.
The Braggy.
Yeah. He's like, get that. And I'm like, what's the difference? And he goes, oh, you won't see a difference. I'm like, then why am I paying for it? He goes, because it's a DLP and it's a Barco. He goes, trust me, it's awesome. He goes, when you pair that with the Illumigen, I go, but what's the difference between that and like a JVC or a Sony? Nothing. But he does, he prefers the Sonys over the, that's why I have a Sony. He's like, I wanted the JVC. And he's like, nope, not, he would have let me get it. But he's like, I prefer the Sony. And he told me all the accuracies and this and that and the compromises between the two of them. And it's, you know, so I was like, all right, I trust you. I'll go with this. So that's why I have a Sony right now. Everybody, all my listeners, not all my listeners, a bunch of my listeners think I'm a huge Sony guy. Like, this is my first Sony. Before that, I had a Panasonic before. I've had an Epson. I had, what else did I have for a projector? The one before that, oh man, how did I forget what this, it was? I'd never heard of it before and he told me to get it because it was like, he goes, you're going to get great black levels. He goes, but it needs to be calibrated. He's like, and you read the reviews and they're like, this is crap out of the box. You need a professional calibrator. And I was like, ah, there you go. Oh, what the hell was it? I sold it. Somebody bought it too when I got my 4K. My Sony. But anyways, I just go with what seems to be good at the time or what recommended to me. So.
Yeah.
I mean, what I do like
about the Sonys, like I like the lenses on the Sonys. Like I feel like there's definitely a different look between the JVC and the Sonys. I feel like the Sonys are always seem to be a little crisper looking. Whereas the JVC, like the, I don't know, like the edges and stuff like that, they just seem to be cleaner, like lines are cleaner. Whereas I always like to say like a mechanical pencil versus one you sharpen in a, maybe like a dull wooden pencil. Like if you were
writing a line with a mechanical pencil. Yep.
Yeah. So I feel like it's, you get finer detail with Sony's.
There's definitely a different look. And I've had listeners tell me like they had Sony's for years and because they, you know, they hear all the push to JVC, they'll get a JVC and they're just not. And it, JVC looks awesome in person. Like when you see it, you're like, wow, look at that. Yeah. Cause they go so deep in the black levels. So like they demo really, really well. But then living with it is a different experience, right? Now you stop putting your content to it. And if you've been used to a Sony for so long, you're like, this is too much. I've had listeners say that to write to me and be like, I didn't like it. It was too much. It was too like, hyper real or something. And then Sony is more of a theater type experience where it's, I don't want to say it's grayed out because they do have good black levels, but it's more, you know, it's just a different feel. And like you said, so it's like, it's what you prefer. There's no right or wrong. Although people tell you all the time, you're wrong. Like, then don't come over.
Like, I'm wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
Well, because every time you speak, you're wrong to somebody. So, and when you talk as much as we do, you'd be like, you're wrong. Okay.
Every time I drop a video, thumbs down. I'm like, oh, am I at 98% already?
Oh my God. I commented. I don't know if you, I just did it a few hours ago on one of your video. What the heck was? Oh, your Dune video. Your Dune 2. I commented because like, oh my, every single comment, I couldn't even, I just clicked the first one and replied, I'll wait for physical. Physical, I support physical. I do this.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe when they get a, maybe when Kaleidoscape gets a handle on their pricing problem. Wait a minute, I didn't know it was a problem. Right? Yeah, no. That's the entire thing. But I loved, there were a ton of them in there for like, I support physical. So I wrote to that one guy I replied to him like, it is physical. That little mini version, that disc that you have inside the case, that's a mini version of the disc that's inside the Kaleidoscape hard drive.
Yeah.
Like, it is physical. It's like, and then I actually elaborated. I said, I go, the thing with the mini version inside the case, though, is it's only limited to holding at least, at the most, 100 gigabytes. The Kaleidoscape, yeah, it's really not limited per movie, because some of them can go well over 100 gigabytes on Kaleidoscape. Yeah. That's how I ended it. I'm like, but support physical.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're both physical.
Yeah, I always say it all the time. Oh. Yeah, I say it all the time. I was like, you know, once I download the movie, it becomes physical media.
Yeah.
It's like, it's literally on a physical hard drive.
Right.
Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's and the same always, thing.
So I was like, the Kaleidoscape, their movies cost so much money. I was like, most of the time they're actually cheaper than physical, than disc.
It's literally,
I don't know where you guys get that from.
It's the cheapest movie upgrade process I've had since the 80s. It was more, yeah, me and my buddy were just talking about this the other day. My buddy John, who's on the show, but he's taking a hiatus right now. We did Laserdisc. And if you, back then, you collected VHS and you want to go to Laserdisc, you got to buy your collection all over again. And I said this when I got my Kaleidoscape a few years ago, and I was like, that was a more expensive transition than the Kaleidoscape, because you bought a Laserdisc player back then, and it was anywhere from, like, for a decent one, like $800 to $1,000 for a Laserdisc player. And then each laser disc was $40 to $60. Factor in the change, you know, inflation rate since the mid-90s. I got my Laserdisc player in 92, 93. I had over 200 laser discs. It was, you factor in the cost of living and all that stuff, I spent way more money on my Laserdisc collection and my Laserdisc player than you do on going to a Kaleidoscape, because Kaleidoscape, you actually, it goes cheaper. When I go to upgrade, especially with that digital program, I'll go to do it, and I've put in a bunch of them, and I'll be like, oh, $4.99 for that one? Okay. And it's like, and then even, like you said, first run movies, you're not upgrading those. You're buying them anyways, and they cost roughly the same, if not cheaper, than the disc coming out at that time. But all the older back title stuff, $14.99, $9.99. I think the most on back title is $24.99. Really?
Yeah.
So
those got sales too, like a couple times a month. So yeah. I mean, I only download the movies that I know I'll watch.
Yeah, I heard you say
like,
that.
Again, like rewatchability.
Do you rent any
of the other stuff?
I thought I'd rent more, but I don't.
Yeah, no. Because you wait a little bit. You can get it for $10 anyway. So it's like, why would I spend $8 when I can get it for $10, like next month probably?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard you say that. Like you'll watch them digitally if it was something else. Like you'll stream it or something if you don't feel like paying for it.
Sometimes they'll send me discs. Yeah, they'll send me discs to review. So I'll just rip it, put on the Zidoo or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the stuff I really want, I'll just buy in the Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. I love the Kaleidoscape because I love to do scenes.
I always like the thing where it's like, yo, what if they go out of business? What happens if your hard drive dies? I'm like, yo, what happens if you scratch your disc? What happens if you get disc rot? What happens if you lend it out and you lose it?
No, just like, what happens if Laserdisc? How viable is that right now?
Yeah.
It's like, what happens if they come out with a disc that makes all of your collection obsolete? It happens. It's happened multiple times. We had VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, Blu-ray. Now we're up to 4K. It always happens. So you don't need it. Kaleidoscape goes out of business. Okay. That could happen. And it's like, and I said, when I bought, I'm like, if I can get 5 years out of it before they go out of business, I'll be that's about the lifespan in home theater for most stuff.
Yeah. No.
You know, so it's there's risks to everything.
Yeah.
But you know what? If your house burns down, you just re-download your stuff.
Yep. It's always, yeah, just anything with Kaleidoscape, it always brings out the negativity out of movie people. It's like the craziest right. thing. I like posting videos about it because I know I get some engagement on it. So
yeah.
I'll do that every time I have like a lull in my views. I'm like, you know what? Kaleidoscape time.
Yeah.
Let me community post with Kaleidoscape just so I can get some comments.
Then you just get buried with that. It's too, yeah. I enjoy
your shell.
Yeah. It's
your paint shell.
No, I just like, it's like reverse trolling. It's like, it's all it is. And it's,
yeah.
My favorite is the people like, you're just bragging. To who? Most people I know don't even know what one is.
Yeah, no.
Like, everybody, I mean, the fact you know what one is, that means I'm bragging. I don't even know you. So why am I bragging to you? It's
like, oh my God, you're such an elitist. You gotta have this and this and this. You're such an elitist chain. I was like, why am I an elitist for? I was like, you have this and this and your setup. Why can't you just be more like affordable? I was like, why do I want to be more affordable? Well, if I don't have to be more affordable. Right.
But like, here's the thing. Guys. And I say this on my show all the time. If you're in home theater, you're an elitist too. Because you know, most of the population can't do this. You're not living hand to mouth if you're even listening to us. If you're talking about home theater, right? It's like if you're even dreaming of home theater, you're probably doing okay. You might not think you're doing okay because you want more.
Yeah.
And that's life. We're all there. It's like, you know, Springsteen, poor man wants to be rich, rich man wants to be king. King ain't satisfied till he's ruled everything, right? There you go. That's life. Just because you're not the poor man but you're not the rich man doesn't mean that I'm sure if you're listening to me, you're watching Shane's videos, I guarantee you, you're doing better than probably 70% of the population.
Yeah.
You know,
some people just like they hate watch. I swear, I guess so many people that just hate watch my channel. It's, right. I was like, well, just as long as you're clicking, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not a big guy. I don't like stamp collecting. I don't watch any stamp collecting videos. And I don't hate the people that spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on a stamp. I don't care. I don't hate it. The only people that hate it, hate what we do and hate this stuff. It's flat out jealousy. That's all it is.
Hey,
you gotta know what it is to appreciate it.
Gene's always like, they hate us. They hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah. And it's true. And it's like, it makes you appreciate the people that were like us before we had this stuff, that I love this equipment. I love this guy. I like drooled over Kaleidoscape since they came out in the early 2000s. I was like, oh my God, I don't have to get up and change the disc just to change the scene. I love that idea. And then I watched their entire thing when they were, you know, got sued and all. I watched, I paid attention to all of that because I love that entire idea. And it's like, just like I loved CRT projectors that were hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Maybe someday. Well, guess what? They made digital projectors that are far cheaper and we got far better picture today at again, fraction of the cost. And it's like, hey, it'll come back around to you. It'll get to you. Don't hate on the people that have it. Because what are you going to do when you've been hating on Shane for so long for having a Kaleidoscape, but oh my God, you can afford one now. You're going to hate on yourself?
Yeah.
Or you're going to be like, now I'll start a YouTube channel. Like, okay.
Yeah, I want to get some free gear too, so I'm starting a YouTube channel. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen so many people do that and get like these Rendell speakers. I'm like, I was like, God, Rendell, are you letting everybody with like 400 subscribers get speakers now? I was like, come on, guys. What are you guys doing?
I got more than 400.
You could get them too, I'm sure. Just email us. Shoot them an email.
Yeah. No, I've heard the stories. It's, I want what I want.
What subwoofers?
And I know why I want what I want. What subwoofers?
Yeah.
I think I want to go again. I'm one of those like completists. I kind of want to go SVS all around. So I'm thinking originally I was going to do, cylinders, but now with the room design and maybe future proofing, maybe a little bit I might be doing, your standard. I don't know yet. I haven't decided, but maybe boxes because of the way I'm designing the front of the room to put them kind of under the screen, pointing out, and because I'm going to have these towers up. So I really haven't decided yet, but probably like right now I'm running two. I got dual SB older PB2000s, not the pros. They're the older ones. And in the room I'm in now, which is like 11 by 18, it's they kick. I mean, I get great pressurization. It's only a 7.5 foot wall. So if that, it's not even that. And it's like, I mean, I get the kick in the chest. I get everything that I want to get. What I'm afraid of is when I get to this bigger room, I'm not going to get the same kick. With soundproofing and everything that I can do, I should be able to get enough power in there to give me the same kick without shaking the house. Like right now, my wife, I shake the house, she'll be two floors up and she'll be like, crap's vibrating off the dresser. But it sounds good in the room.
I mean, here SVS has got something bigger coming out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick was on my show. We did a Friday show. A few weeks ago, and he kind of hinted at that. And it's like, everybody was like, a 24? We don't know what it is, but there is something coming bigger. I don't know if what they got coming that's bigger, if I'm going to need bigger. I mean, I can probably get away with like, what I would like to do for ease of use, my original was four somethings. So either four 2000s or four 3000s in this room. I think at that size, that should be capable. So we'll see.
I mean, obviously wait to see what they release because they're definitely going to have some new subs. That PB16 has been out for a while.
Yeah. The 16, then they get the 4000s, mm-hmm. the 3000s, the 2000s. So,
I mean, my guess, PB18. That's what I'm thinking.
PB18s?
I think so. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me.
But
I'm just speculating.
Do you think I would need that though? In that size? Of, like, if I do four.
Yeah.
Because I like to do four. Yeah,
we got the same size room, man. You could definitely need some.
Well, in my these 2000s now, they're both like dialed to two. It's like, you know, a little dial back. Like I'm not really using them. It's like I'm not the amplifiers aren't working very hard because it's not needed. But
yeah, I got 7 foot ceilings in there, right?
In this room,
you're gonna have 8 foot ceilings.
The new room's gonna be nine foot ceilings.
Oh yeah, that's gonna. Yeah, so you don't want to fill that space. Or so, if you get a trim, did you already pre-wire for everything?
I'm not at the wiring stage yet. I'm still building the walls, but yes, I will pre-wire for like, and because I have false walls, I'm pretty much future-proof for everything. I can wire the bejesus out of it. So I'm not worried about like, I got a new one. And that's kind of the way I did it with these false walls so that maybe in the future I could do a speaker face off or something and run it all back there and not have to worry about the existing room that I'm in, you know, but also if speaker, you know, speaker placement changes, I've got all the room back there to put them where I need to put them. You know what I mean? So like run new cables, easy. And it's not disrupting the room you're sitting in.
Oh, got you. Okay. So your equipment's in the room or in a separate
room? It's going to have a separate media room. For the equipment and discs, and it's like right outside the room, but it's actually the wall. There's 6 inches between that wall and then the other wall. So just dead space in there too. So completely decoupled. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say, if you were going to get a Trinov, then I would probably just wire up for extra subs in the front and back wall just in case, you know.
Yeah.
But if it's easy to get cables in there, then yeah.
Yep. You're good. I did this room here kind of in the same way. It just didn't give me the capability to do it the way I'm doing it now. But make it future proof so that you can always just be like, I need to run new wires. Like when Atmos came out in, what was it, 2014, 2015, when we could get it at home, I'd had my theater for almost 15 years, but it wasn't a problem to run Atmos speakers because the way I designed the walls and I could pull these things off and run the wire down, pop it in, boom, boom. Literally took me a couple hours to wire in four overheads. So,
yeah.
And this room is going to be even easier. So, and that's the idea is because, you know, home theater is always evolving. Where we are today is not where we'll be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So, and that's the part about FOMO that kills you is you're like, oh my God, I wish I could do this. Well, I should be able to. And I want to make it easy because I'm getting older. And when I'm like 65, 75 years old, I want to be like, I got to take down a wall. And I just run it back there.
My buddy who was helping me build the room, he's like 70. And in my mind, he's always still 55. So I was like, yo, come on down, drive down. Cause he lives in New York. I was like, yo, come on down. We need to build this riser. He goes, what's the riser? He goes, it's just the platform.
Yeah.
He goes, okay. So we're like taking all this wood in. He's like, hold on a second. I was like, what's going on? He goes, I'm 70 years old, you know? I was like, are you? He was like, yeah.
It's so funny.
He's like, we're 20 years apart. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I was like, I'm almost 50. I forgot you are almost 70.
Wow. That's good that he can do it though. And he does all that.
Yeah. I was like, listen, it's better you're doing this than sitting home doing nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, 70-year-old men don't do stuff like this.
No.
And I was like, this is keeping you young.
Yeah. It keeps you, if you're active, as long as you're active, it's when you stop. That's when like it's the precipitous drop. It's like once you stop, you're screwed.
I say my mom's like 80. She still works at a restaurant like 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And she's still kicking. She's like a young woman, you know, she goes to work every single day, has one day off.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I was like, well, that's cool that you're still going.
Yeah. Let me get a little bit into your past. We've just been chatting away here. How did you start in home theater? Like how old were you?
Oh man,
how long you been doing this? Not podcasting, but like home theater and everything.
I remember when I was like, I want to say I was like a teenager, maybe 14, 15. I went to my father's friend's house and, went to his apartment on the second floor. And then he had popped in, I believe it was Indiana Jones on his Hi-Fi VHS Sony player.
That's what I had.
On his Bose 301s. so we put the Bose 301s on. I was on the TV, little square. I don't know. It must have been like a 24-inch. He goes, guys, check this out. He goes, check this out. Listen to this. So we sat there. I was like, oh, wow, this is probably the best thing I've ever heard in my life back then. And then I think many years later, I think maybe a couple days later, I went and got my dad's stereo. And then I put up in my bedroom some speakers that we had lying around the house. I put them in my bedroom, put my TV. I had a little TV there at the time when I was a kid. My mom always gave me TVs. And then I was just like, just watching it. I was like, this doesn't sound like what I heard at his house.
Yeah.
Ever since then, I've been after that experience of what I've heard at his house to wow me from those two speakers. Many years later, I was at a Circuit City Express. It has Bose 301s again with the Lion King on a VHS. And I was sitting in the back of the store and they did start that scene where it was like raining and Simba was looking up at his pops, Mufasa. I was like, oh my God, these Bose speakers are amazing. Yeah. And I had just like started working. I was like, I'm going to save up and buy these Bose 301s.
Yeah.
I bought them and then I saved up and I bought a little Pioneer AVR for Dolby Pro Logic. And I was like, I was cranking them. This tweeter started to distort. And I was like, oh, these speakers are not as good as I thought they would be. I was like, what's going on with these Bose speakers? Ever since then, I've just been like trying to find the right speakers, trying to get the best receiver. I've gone through Bose. I've run through Sony, Pioneers, Kenwood's Pioneers. You know, just like the really affordable line from early 90s up until now. And then I finally got a job, I think in 2003. Is when I got my first part-time job at Best Buy. And that's when I learned about accommodations and discounts and the kind of markups that were on things. And not that I was working at Best Buy since 2003 till recently, but I don't know if I was at Best Buy. And then I was just like, wow, I was able to just like save up and get really good stuff. And then, you know, had a kid, stopped working at Best Buy. And then later the kid got older. Then I went to Best Buy again back in 2006. Not 2006, not 2016, I think it was.
Oh.
And then I was like, you know what? I went back there because I wanted to, after I had my kids, she grew up a little bit. She turned like 15. And then I was like, you know what? I moved out to Connecticut here. I had gotten married. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to work part-time because I want to get a new home theater. So I worked at part-time for like a good solid year. I bought a Sony projector. I bought so much stuff on discount there. They took me into the back room one day and just like, they're like, why do you have like 8 sheets of merchandise? Like, are you selling? I was like, no, this is like my room. Yeah. I was like, this is my house, man. He's like, wow. Oh, because yeah, they're like, I don't know. Nobody has bought this much stuff before. I was like, well, nobody's like me. I was like, why am I your number one sales guy? Because I have everything and I know everything.
Right.
They're like, oh, true. They're like, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then,
did they ever come out to see it? Like literally do like an inventory audit of you to make sure you.
Well, they learned after I made the first YouTube video. They're like, oh, so you do have this stuff. I was like, yeah. I was like, this is my stuff, man. And then
we never think of selling it.
Yeah.
That probably would have been more lucrative.
Yeah. And, back when I had first started the channel, I would buy stuff and I became good friends with this general manager there. And then he was like really into it. He was like, yeah, he goes, you know what? If you're going to buy something, just buy from us, return it to the store next town over. I was like, all right. So wow. That's how I reviewed a lot of stuff at the beginning of the channel was, I'd buy stuff there on discount and then I'd return it. So, that's kind of what kicked off the channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I do have a listener, Nelson. That's how he got his Kaleidoscape. He went to work at Best Buy for, Christmas and he was on the Geek Squad. And because UPS used to do the same thing for deliveries. Well, Geek Squad, like, hey, we're hiring. So for the Christmas rush. And he worked there and it's like, and you get like a really good discount. And he got Stratos S back with the player all in one.
That's what I got.
Yeah. And he what he got. And he's like, you know, that's the sole reason it is into home theater. And he's just like, boom.
Yeah.
But I've heard other stories, same thing. It's like, I never ended up working at one. I wanted to, but I knew. I wouldn't make any money. I couldn't do it as an extra job. I'd need to do it as my job, but now I'd have no livelihood because all my money would go out. You know, your paycheck would show, oh, you bought too much this week. We can't pay you. Oh, sounds about right. Okay.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, I just worked there I just made sure I worked there like part time I worked there for like 2-3 years, just part time, like a few hours a week. And they were just like, how are you affording all this stuff? I was like, you give me a discount, man. Come on. That's fine. That's how I get it. And then, right before COVID hit, right the same day that COVID hit, they started like sending people home. And then a week later, they're like, well, listen, we're going to have people come back to work. I was like, all right. They're like, do you want to come back to work? You need to have like open availability. I was like, and YouTube was good. I was like, yeah, I'll come back to work, but I'm only going to come back one day. They're like, no, you have to be open, like on call all the time. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. It's like, well, I guess you're resigning then.
Yeah.
And I was really pissed off because I was like, I was their number one sales guy for 4 years in a row, 3 years in a row. I was like you would have to sell $1 million every year. I was like well over $1 million, like 4 straight years.
Wow.
They would send you to these trips. They call them the Achievers trips for their number one store sales guys. And every year they would have like this mini Cedia where every vendor was like, that you could think, it wasn't like a mini, it was basically like Cedia. It was like, it would be in like, California, whatever that, where do they have Comic-Con at? That big
San Diego?
San Diego. Yeah, they would take out that whole building there and just every vendor was there. So it was like, and you walk in there, they have all the little displays and everything like that, just for the Best Buy guys. You'd be there for, I think like 4 or 5 days and then you could have like a little vacation. They give you like a vacation, all that stuff. So I'd win that every year and they'd give you like a $400 or $500 bonus every year, for selling some other crap. So I'd always win. And then when the time came, I was just like, listen, I said, just put me on part time. Just give me like one day a week. That's all I need. They're like, nah, if we need you to come in, you need to come in. I was like, you want to lose this?
Right.
And I was just like, it's retail. So they're just like, we can get a replacement. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm quitting then. So, yeah, that's kind of just ended my whole Best Buy career. So it kind of sucked. That's the way it ended.
Yeah.
Cause they would put like banners. I had banners, my name in the back room and all that. Like number one Best Buy, blah, 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 blah. I was like, this is the kind of value I get for helping you guys out for like 5-4 years.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, guys, see ya.
Yeah.
See ya, man.
Yeah. Now look at you.
Yeah. Now look at me. But yeah, I mean, back then, man, the hi-fi, Sony hi-fi VCR is it. I mean, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You know what I miss about that? And I've talked to people. At CEDIA this year, I talked to Josh and I tried to talk to an engineer at Kaleidoscape. And Kaleidoscape can do it. Discs, you can't do it on because it's reading with a laser and you're spinning the disc. But what I'm talking about is remember on the old, it had my Sony had a dial and you could go frame by frame. And then you could use, remember the dial had the little indentation for your finger and you could go really fast in either direction and go, and you could do all, you can't do that anymore because the laser wouldn't be able to track right. But with what we're doing with the hard, we can do it now. You can do it on streaming. You can do it on Apple. You can go back and forth and you could slide your finger and move almost frame by frame. I know Kaleidoscape could do it. They just haven't done it. And I forget who the engineer was I talked to there. Cause I talked to, what's her name? At Kaleidoscape. She was really cool. We ended up talking for like a half hour. But then she's like, let me get you the head engineer. And he was just like, we got out of the priorities. I was like, okay. I'm like, I get it. I'm like, something I like, but.
There's one thing he said that I was a little disappointed in because I had one of the guys on. I was like, hey, listen, I said, if you really want to differentiate yourself from like disc, I said, why don't you make each movie at least the minimum 100 gigs? They're like, well, compression doesn't matter because we can go 40 gigs. You won't tell the difference between 40 and 100. I was like, the compression, you're not going to be able to tell. I was like, what do you, I was like, I've rendered over 1,000 videos. I was like, I know what kind of compression works.
Right.
But he was just like, he goes, you're not going to tell the difference. When I went to the theater in Germany, they were playing demos on a Barco Braggy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool projector. I mean, that's the one we were talking about earlier. They're playing DCI files, which are theater files,
right?
Uncompressed theater files. I mean, if you're rich enough, you can buy them.
Yeah.
So he had them on a hard drive. We're playing like all these trailers, and we went through like all of them, and they ended at like the Maverick trailer. I was like, man, what an amazing trailer. I was like, what's that? That's like the native 4K trailers from the theater, right? DCI. He goes, no, that's 1080p DCI. I was like, there's no way that's 1080p. He goes, yeah, these are uncompressed 1080p. I was like, you're telling me I can't tell the difference between DCI 1080p and DCI 4K?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, they're that good. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then I got this guy telling me like, no, we just, doesn't matter with the compression. I was like, you're glad. I was like, come on, man. I was like, there's space. Make each movie 100 gigs. People would really buy into it.
Yeah.
If your 1080p movies could look almost as good as the 4K ones. I mean, come on.
Right. That'd be huge. Cause I know like, I mean, I've done some 1080p movies reviews that I was like, wait a minute. And it is the Kaleidoscape. And then when you add in a video processor as well, you're up, you know, you're getting a great image, right? But what's funny is people have asked me that on the show, like, well, because of the Lumagen and because of this, do you think it's, you know, you're like 1080, that's why 1080p looks so good to you? And I'm like, well, it still doesn't look as good as a native 4K. So it doesn't raise it to that level, but it does raise it a little bit, but yeah, it's, it, there's so many things. I heard, was it Luke you're talking about? Was that the guy that from Kaleidoscape you're talking about? Luke was the, he's the one that does all the movies, the scenes and stuff.
No, this is a different guy. This is a different guy. Oh, okay. This was a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, Luke all right. Movie, yeah, I know there's so many things that they could do, but I mean, what they do is great, but I would love, there's a few little tweaks, especially for me. I like to do scenes and not even just for the show. That's just me in general. That's why I want to be able to do frame by frame. It'd be so easy to get to an image or get to a scene.
Yeah.
You know, right now, did you know they have a 10-second back button?
No.
On the Kaleidoscape?
Do they?
Yep. I found it. It's not on their remote. I found it on the Harmony. And I don't know what you're using for a remote system, but they'll be able to dig it up for you. Like if you're using a Control 4 or a Crestron or something, they'll have it because I found it. Like, so I wanted to put mine onto the Harmony, right? So you go on the app, not using the app. I went on to the, you know, the computer version. And I'm like, what's this thing? And it's the back button or whatever. And it literally jumps back 10 seconds. I haven't found the 10-second forward one. But that's really helpful because if you're looking for a scene, you get there and you can just go boop, boop, and you go 20 seconds back or you can go 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I'll have to see if my control.
Yeah, control has it's in there. Now. It's somewhere. It's not on, you know, you can't use it with the Kaleidoscape control, but it is in there. I love jumping around like that. So,
well, that's cool. It's always kind of a pain, like doing some comparisons and stuff. I like to do like a freeze frame, but it's always like, I gotta check the time and just like pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always a pain in the butt. I was like, I'm pretty sure there's a frame by frame button on this Kaleidoscape. How could there not be a frame by frame button? But they just don't have it.
I was hoping it was going to be on the new remote. Would that come out like a year ago or something? When they're like, big announcement, they had a new remote or whatever. And I was like, nope.
You got a new remote? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, last year, this time, maybe last year, something like that. They came out with a new, I don't know what it was, something about the remote. And I was hoping it would be on the app because the app has, when you use the app, it has the little dot on the app for where like the time is in the movie. And like, if that was Apple, you'd put your finger on it and you'd slide it back and forth to go to that part of the movie. That's all they got to do is add it to the interface there. And I'd be like ecstatic, you know. Yeah.
Do you have an SSD one or an HDD?
I have the standard, like the hard drive. I just have the standard one. I want the SSD because it comes in black.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like,
did you get the rack mount?
No, I don't have a rack yet. I built my own like rack system, but when I get a rack, I'll rack out my stuff. But,
right. Yeah. I wish each movie was 100 gigs. So, because it would just be like really shut down the physical media guys. Because you can always just be like, listen, you're rocking a 60 gig Disney Plus movie or Disney movie. I was like, this is 100 gigs minimum, 100 gigs.
Well, Endgame's like 103, but it's on a 60 gigabyte disc. And it's, you know, I think, what do you think of this? The bigger the screen, the more important that is. If you're watching on a 65, 75 inch television, you're probably not going to see that much of a difference, but you get up into like the 120, 130, even at 110, I can see a little bit of a difference. Cause I know when I first got mine, I was like, man, Star Wars looks so much better, or these Marvel movies look better. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was starting to think it was just me, you know, like, cause when you get a new piece, you're like, it's kind of like when you get your oil changed in your car's faster. You're just like, oh, it feels so nice. And it's just in your head. Right. So I was thinking that, and I was talking to Nelson, who had had one for a while, and he pointed out to me, he goes, go on Blu-ray.com, look it up. He goes, you're seeing. What you're experiencing is that difference in compression. I was like, oh, it's legitimately there. And he told me, I was like, I was so excited. I completely forgot the gigabytes. And then I started looking them all up and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, that Endgame one's huge to go from 103 down to like under 60 or 60. That's tough. Yeah. So, but most people aren't going to see that. You know,
I know. It's like sometimes I'll review a movie. I'll review a movie and be like, I give it like a 6.5. And they're like, he's like, it looks phenomenal on my TV. I was like, let me guess, you're watching it something like in a little lady 5-inch? And they'll get so offended because I say that.
Right. But that's not a bad thing. That's the advantage. Yeah. Like the bigger you go, that's where the money, you have to spend more money. Like you have to, because that's where the quality is. Not the quality, but you're getting good quality at 85. Well, I wouldn't complain. Right. And it's like, I actually don't even want my room to be as big as it is. My wife wants to be able to host more people. All right. But you got to spend money to get the quality that I want. And that's, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not a slight to say that. It's more like, that's just the reality.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They take it. So if, I'm like, listen, I say it because I know it's going to get a reaction out of them.
Right.
but they're like, oh my God, you're such an elitist because we can't afford 120 inch or whatever. I'm like, well, I was like, that's the difference between 85 and a 120 or a 150. I was like, you're going to notice things easier when the higher you go up.
But here's the other part. I'm not an elitist. I didn't just say mine's better than yours or this is anything's better than yours. You told me I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is why you don't see the difference. Because I've seen the people with decent sized channels tell people there's no difference between streaming and physical. And be like, what are you on, a 32-inch television? What are you, I'm like, and it's the same thing. If you don't get up into the, 100 plus inches, there is no difference. I mean, especially video now, it's gotten really good streaming. It's really good.
Yeah, but super good.
But audio wise, it's definitely a huge, there's still a big difference. But yeah, it's not a slight to the person, because I don't just say it to everybody. I only say it to the people that tell you that I'm wrong. Like, no, there is no difference.
Mm.
There is. And I can see it. Come on over and I'll show you. No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't do that. There's this one guy. I didn't want to say him. He was like, hey man, when's the invite for when your theater's complete? And not really thinking about it. I was like, hey man, if you're in Connecticut, just bring the beer. You can come over.
Uh-oh.
So it hits me back. I'm in the next town over from where you live. I was like, oh my God, he's literally 10 minutes away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I went to two guys' houses and you've put that out though, going to people's houses. And I went, that's when I was at Expona, I went to Mike and John's house, two listeners that I've had on the show doing Takeover Tuesdays. Great guys. And I said to my son, I was like, I've said this on the show already. And I told them too. I go, one of the guys is on the border of Wisconsin. And I was like, I said to my son as we're driving there, I'm like, did you ever think we'd be just going to some guy's house and like on the border of Wisconsin? He goes, nope. Cause it's a weird thing to have, but to put yourself out there too. And then all of a sudden people are like, I want to come and see it. And it's like, I've told people in the area, I'm like, email me if you want to come by. It's like, I don't mind, but it's like, it is a little daunting at times. It can be.
Yeah. I feel worried about it. Like I asked like Michael about it. I've asked him about it too. I was like, you don't mind having people come to your house? He goes, nah, man. He goes, it's cool. Get to meet your subscribers. I was like, I don't know, man.
I know. I talked to him about it too. And I was like,
yeah,
we actually had a conversation once. He was like, I was in one of his Patreon chats, right? And the listeners were saying like, oh, we want to get together and put a page together. And I've said this on the show too, but I'm like, I called him the next day. I'm like, Michael, I'm like, you set pages. There's so many liability issues there. It can get dangerous, you know? And it's like, most people are good, but all it takes is one person. And it's like, you start posting, hey, these people have theater. These are soft targets for expensive gear. It's like, and that's scary. It's like, I'm not worried about my listeners. I'm worried about somebody going, hey, wait a minute. There's a forum where you can go and see all these expensive theaters. And even our cheapest theater is an expensive thing. It's got expensive gear that could be really that you don't want that. So,
and I get, I got a lot of haters on my channel. It just takes one to be friendly one day and just try to find out, oh, I've been to Shane's Theater. This is his address. I'm like, I don't know if I want to deal with that.
Yeah. And that is true too. And that's, you get at the bigger you get, the more, I mean, it's a percentage thing. And it's, I don't think you have any, I don't have a lot of haters, but I don't have a lot of listeners, but it's a percentage thing. And it's like your amount of viewership, it could be 5%, but that's a, still a lot of people. And that's, and it usually is the focus. I did a, I did this whole seminar thing for businesses and stuff years and years ago. My father did the same one at the same time, different place, but, and it was, so it was how to handle people, how to handle business and stuff like that. And it's like, so go to a restaurant. If you have a good meal, what do? Leave a tip, pay your check, you walk out. Somebody asks you, how was it? It's good. It's good. Okay. If it was great, what do? Leave a tip. You go, wow. You might tell someone, tell your friend about it, but nobody knows. It's just nobody knows. You had a bad experience. What do? This was awful. And so the percentage of talk is mostly negative. Nobody tells you. They just expect that's what's supposed to be done, right? It's like it's very rare people compliment people, but it's not rare to be when people don't like something. So.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, Dean. That's why sometimes I just don't go to like shows and all that stuff too, because I don't know, some weirdos out there. So, I mean, I get like racist comments like all the time. Like, I don't know these people. They could be at like shows waiting for me to show up. I don't know.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. Yep, yep. I've been to 2 shows so far and I'm having a good time. So,
I mean, I've only been like to that one show, Audio Advice. I mean, I met a lot of people there. Like I get stopped every like 5 minutes. So we're like, oh, hey, Shane, blah, 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 blah. But, it's cool for the most part, but, you know, I get a little paranoid about that stuff, you know. I see some of these YouTube stories, YouTuber killed, blah, 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 or stalker, YouTube stalker. I was like, oh man. I was like, I get it. I get a lot of the hate comments. And so
it's a great example of like I said, I went to Mike and John's houses in Chicago, right? And they keep thanking me for putting them together because they met through the show. But I said to them this weekend, I'm like, it's as much a credit to you because there are a lot of people, and here you are saying it right now, just like you. And it's like, neither of you are wrong, but if you put yourself out there, you could end up in a bad situation. But if you, at the same time, if you trust people and you vet it or whatever and you want to do that, that's up to you. But it is hard because it's like, it could be somebody completely nice, but it takes 2 people to be able to get that together. So with home theater is such a lonely hobby. And that's why I think people like the podcast and listen and watch people because you get to interact a little bit. But yeah, it's like, I don't blame you. And it's like, I go back and forth myself. But it's tough. So
yeah. I try to avoid that.
Try to avoid that.
But
yeah.
All right, dude. I got about 5 minutes here for the wifey gets home.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We'll wrap up then. That's easy enough. It's been over 2 hours, Shane. Jeez. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate the time.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, this is what I do all day, sit home and just whatever.
Yeah, just talk home theater.
I don't have a normal job like you do.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, how about this? I'm like, that's cool. We'll do a live show sometime. I like to do these so that we can just, and we're not encumbered by other people, but you know, questions. So a little bit, get a little personal, but we'll do a live show sometime. I know people love to
for sure.
Ask you questions. But
send it super chats.
Yeah. I know you hit that up when you were on the 24-hour show when you were in here and you were like, do this. Cause I had that then. And you're like, I mean, you got my channel. It went poof because you started hitting people up and we put it on your channel and everything. So thanks for that. Yeah. That was a blast.
Oh yeah. It's all good. It's all good.
All right.
Got to get that super chats, man.
Yeah. I'm going to work on that.
Take care of that AdSense.
We talked about, I'll take care of the AdSense. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks all Patreon supporters, everybody, all that good stuff. I'll be back later on the live show later today, 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 days. But until, and, oh yeah, go watch Shane's stuff and leave a nice comment, not a mean one, because this is Bright Side. So, all right. Till next time.
Go push play.
What he said.
It is right.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.